Maybe I want to share a scripture with you that I haven't, as I can say, I haven't prepared the scripture, but I just quickly share the scripture and then we can carry on with what God is dealing with us this morning. Specifically in the first service, I just experienced a lot of resistance in the spirit. This is not individuals. I just want you to take note of that. So don't think about who was in the first service and resisted the message. So I think it's something that I wanted to give context to, and I was standing here, and suddenly the Lord reminded me of a specific incident in the Bible in Daniel 10, where Daniel prayed, and then Daniel experienced some resistance, and he said, the Lord spoke to Daniel. He said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel." This is chapter 10, verse 12, and he said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I've come in an answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia." As I say, we get a second chance in the service. And you know what? Sometimes when God wants to bring a message across or when he wants to reach us, guess what? There are some things in the way that wants to prevent us from receiving that good news. Whether it's our mind that's so occupied with something out there, or in the spiritual realm, just trying to come against us with all his guns, just to try and stop us. And normally, when that happens, I know there's something specifically that God wants to impart that's so key that the enemy knows as well. It's key. We're going to talk about fasting a little bit later, and I know it's for that. I know for a fact that we are at the brink of a place where we're standing on the edge of intentional breakthrough in individuals' lives and in this church's life. And I believe that the enemy knows this morning as well that key, we're about to use that key. And if we use that key, then he's gone, you know. So we'll come back to that about the fasting and prayer. And today is going to probably contribute to that as well as we share something on the Holy Spirit. We're starting a new series about the Holy Spirit. I'm excited, but I'm more excited about the prayer and fast this week, about what God is about to do in our midst. Personally, this past week has just been, to me, such an up and down week, but I knew that the Holy Spirit is working here and he's stirring certain things in our heart, in my heart, and I want to invite you, I'll give you all my cards right from the start. I really want to invite you on Wednesday night when we come and we pray together as a church, 6:30 here, that you take the time. If you're part of a cell group, you anyway have to come, if I can put it that way. We're canceling all our cell groups for Wednesday night. And if you're not part of a cell group, you're still welcome to join us on Wednesday night as we pray and we're going to see God's face. Just to correct or just to give you a bit of ease and comfort there, we're not fasting for a month unless you have the capacity to fast for a month. We're going into a month of prayer. So if you heard that month fasting, you felt, oh no, I've got the wrong address, it's the wrong church that I walked into this morning. Unless God gives you the grace to do that, go for it, my brother. But we'll be fasting from Monday to Wednesday. And then we'll continue for a month of prayer, which we will probably fast for one day a week. Okay? But again, if you have the grace to go further than that, please go for that. Let me not stop you there. But we want to encourage each and everyone to become part of that. But let me tell you a story first. I don't know if you've watched the news lately. The past week, if you're a fisherman, you've been around people that were talking about the fishing licenses or permits that suddenly was just increased to 1,500 rands, eh? If you want to catch a fish. Now you're talking about an expensive fish. Last time it was like driving all the way up to the north coast, I almost want to say, coming back with one fish. Now can you imagine if you buy a fish now or you go and find one, how expensive that fish is. But anyway, about the fish, talking about that the other day, a couple of months ago, Pastor Philip, that was in Windhoek, he called me and he said, this is last weekend, that weekend that he was preaching here. And he said, you know what, this one of the things on my bucket list is I want to catch a fish. Yeah, Namibia. So can you please arrange that for me? I said, well, listen, if you're going to depend upon me or rely upon me to do that, you know, it's dangerous. You know, you might go away with that bucket list still not being ticked. So I asked somebody in church, I asked Quentin, I said, Quentin, I know you like fishing. Can we just join on? You know the Kenny Gata. You know where to go. Because I'm always amazed by how people would sometimes, you know, when they drive past the water, say, this is a nice one. I'm like, this is just water, man. It's a nice gat. What's a nice hole? It doesn't say this, sound the same. Here is a goede gat. I'm like, no, I don't see what you see. But anyway, I'm with you. So I'll cast my out there. Nevertheless, so we went there. And normally I go very prepared because I know if I don't catch a fish, I can do other things. I can braai. So at least if the fish is not, there's no fish, then I'll braai. So I took some sausage, boerewors, and charcoal, because it's next to the, you want to do it quickly, and a little braai, and I had my matches in my pocket, and anyway, so we went off there, start fishing, and then as it happens, you try and catch the galjoen, and then you throw between the rocks, and then you're stuck there, and you're like, I know I can't lose this now, and anyway, so I'm so determined because I had this fish on the line. I just didn't have it on this on the side, the big fish, you know. And so I was so determined not to lose it, so I had to go deeper into the water so that I can, hopefully somewhere I will get it out of the water. And in the process, the waves came in, and I was wet up to here with the matches in my pocket. And that's the only matches I had. So I came back, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to try at least. Now there's no fish, and at least gonna make a fire. So I tried, and nothing is working. So later on, I had the car, and I turn it on, and the lighter, and then I keep the match there. Nothing wants to happen, and at the aircon, not the aircon, but the heat and of the fan, that didn't work either. And now I realize, you know what? All your good intentions is gonna come to nothing. You start praying now. So anyway, this I started becoming a bit more spiritual then, and. I said, Lord Jesus, I really want to have sausage today. And about 10 minutes after that, you wouldn't believe it. He came, provision came, and a guy came driving past there. And it's about 20 kilometers past Dentist Bay, so it's out there, nothing. And the guy drives past us, and I stop him. I say, listen, do you have matches or a lighter? He says, yes, yes, yes. And he gives his lighter to me. He says, you can have it. I said, no, I don't want it. I'll just quickly light my fire, and you can have it. So I light the blitz. And I gave him the lighter, and he drove off, and I take the took my charcoal, and I threw it on the blitz, and boom. And I stand there, and I'm saying, God, you just provided, and there goes the guy, and this is like, this is this moment of, I was already contemplating how I testify about the provision of God, and now I'm like, so I started praying again. I said, God, can I have a second chance? And by God's grace, he gave me a second chance. So after another 10 minutes or so, another guy pulls around. And this time I made sure, I said, just hang in there for a moment. Let me just make sure. So I kept all the, put all the remaining blitz I had in there, and I liked that. And eventually it was a nice ending. We caught a few fish and we had the braai there. But imagine, I had everything there, but without the matches, it meant nothing. Have you ever been in a situation where yourself, where you've been placed in a situation and suddenly you feel you don't have answers. Somebody confronts you with a question, and you feel, man, I don't know how to answer it. I don't know about you. I've been in many such situations where people suddenly throw a question at you, and you're like, I know where that is. Maybe in a spiritual sense. Somebody's asking you a spiritual question, and you're like, I know it's somewhere in the Bible, but I don't know how to answer this person now. Or maybe at work you've been in that situation where you feel under-equipped or not equipped enough, but you know there's a certain expectation for the certain outcome. You need to produce, you need to deliver in a certain way to answer this or to bring a satisfaction. Here's the thing. For certain outcomes in life, there's certain actions needed. If I want to have a braai and a nice sausage, guess what? I can have a nice idea, can have a desire, can have a plan for that, can put everything together without the matches. Nothing's going to happen, unless you like raw sausage. Some of us like that. But I think it still tastes better when it's cooked. Maybe you sit here this morning, you've been coming to church, you've been expecting growth in your life, or you're assuming that you were growing. And then next week, you come back and you're assuming that you're growing. Next week, or maybe in a month's time, you come back and you're assuming that you're growing your walk with the Lord. That might be a bit foolish. And don't go yet, because the pastor called you a fool. Jesus called a few guys a fool as well. So just to help me out there as well. We're going to read about the fools here. Okay, but I didn't mention any names here. It's possible to go through the motions, coming to church, reading your Bible, praying, going to cell group, whatever it be. But without the Holy Spirit in the middle, that's actually the fire. That's the match that's connecting them. What we do here this morning will just become another human meeting without the Holy Spirit. We can even read our Bibles. We can even be spiritual. Now let's read Bible. Still, but without the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4 talks about that. It's all good things, but without the Holy Spirit. Your walk with God without the Holy Spirit will eventually become dry. And then eventually you will feel tired and worn out. And then eventually you think, oh, this is not working. Oh, God, I'll give up on you because this is just religion. And that's actually a religion. I want to give to you this morning a couple of keys from the scripture which I discovered here that's so important as we prepare ourselves for the Holy Spirit to move deeper in our lives. We're going to get back to the fast at the end of the service. But if you turn with me this morning to Matthew 25, Matthew 25, and I just want to share with you a couple of things, three keys I notice in this parable that Jesus is talking. I want you to notice that Jesus is, just a bit of background, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the end times. He's talking about what is about to happen when he's away. And they've been asking a lot of questions, John 14, John 15, and John 16. He's talking about a lot of that when he's away and about the Holy Spirit. But now in Matthew 24, 25, and 26, he's talking about the end times. Listen, guys, this is what will happen at that time. You will notice that a lot of rumors and of wars, and they will be hunger and a lot of all those things, pesticides, people that will become sick and a lot, well, not just sick, but the bigger things than that, that God says about to happen. But then in the middle of that, there's a parable that he's telling in Matthew 25 verse 1. Let's read from there. First verse. Then the kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Here it goes. Five of them were foolish. Underline that foolish, because you see, I didn't say foolish. Jesus said that. Were foolish. And five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. And we can just stop there for a moment. It's important that when this parable starts, that we notice that Jesus immediately distinguished between wise and foolish. That he immediately even give us the reason why some were foolish and some were wise. And it's obvious, we see this from Scripture, that he says the foolish ones were the ones that didn't have extra oil. Okay? So we can all agree on that. That the reason he's telling us is to help us to make sure that we are not foolish. To make sure that we have extra oil. Now, oil is not the Holy Spirit in this case. We can go back to that and later, maybe another day in the discussion. But he's talking about principles here that we need to figure out and make sure. But in my reading this, preparing the scripture this week, I was asking myself this question. When Jesus distinguished between the foolish and the wise, and he gives us the reason that some had extra oil, why, is the obvious question that came to my mind, why did the others had extra oil? Why were five of them, or why had five of them had extra oil? They were the foolish, the wise ones, sorry. And the other five were the foolish ones because they didn't have extra oil. Did somebody come along and just handed them an extra oil? Hey, listen, I've got a bit of spare oil here. No. I believe there's something key to this. A word called, you can write it down, desire. I believe that the five wise ones had a desire to have extra oil. If they didn't have the desire, they would have not gone to the lens to get the extra oil. Here's the thing this morning. See, God gives us a desire. Philippians 2 verse 13 says this. He says, for it is God, and I often quote that scripture because it's so beautiful, for it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. In every church, in this church, in every church in Swakopmund, in the world, there are people sitting here this morning, and here's the reality, with different desires for God. Amen? We don't know, But we'll get to that back to that, how your desire looks like, or it's reflected in certain things. But here's the thing. There are people sitting here this morning that maybe don't have a desire for God. And the only reason why you've been coming here is maybe because guilt has brought you here. Maybe I had a rough week. I was partying, and I don't know, you can color it in what you feel guilty about. You feel, oh man, I have to set things right. Let me just start on a fresh page this week. Let me just go to church, settle a few things, and then I feel relieved, and I can go. Only problem with that is you've been driven by guilt. You're not being driven by the Holy Spirit. So eventually, around, you keep on coming back for that because you feel guilty all the time. And Christ wants to release you from that guilt. He wants to set you free. He wants to put the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon you whenever you move in the wrong direction, that He can help you. But He wants to place a desire inside of you to be amongst His people, to be with Him, to commune with Him. There are people sitting here this morning, possibly, or in any other church, maybe not in our church, we are perfect. But anyway, so let me not preach to you, preach to myself and to the people out there. That's possibly having a desire for God, but they're content with a bit of God. They're possibly saying to the Lord Jesus, the people out there, okay, so you can agree with me about the people out there, that Lord Jesus, I'm here this morning and then it will last me for another 6 weeks. That's the reality, people. That's reality. Because our actions reflect our desires. And I'm talking about intimacy with God. I'm talking about moving closer to the Holy Spirit, because that's what it's all about. It's not about standing here just speaking in tongues, praying for people. Those are all just tools. But I want to emphasize that so important. We can desire all those gifts and the tools, if I can say that. But if your character is stinking, don't minister to me, please. Because I'll talk to you and ask you, you know what, you've been handling your wife like that, and now you want to pray for me. And can we just talk about that first? Anyway, the Holy Spirit's primary is to take us closer and to point us to the Son, to the Father, to bring us into that place of intimacy with Him. And we're going to pray for people later on to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But for now, let's just stand still for a moment here. You see, your desire reflects actually what's inside. I mean, when we come together and we say to one another, you know what, or the people out there again, they say, well, once a week is enough, I'll see you maybe next week. It's just because your desire determines that next week is enough for you, or maybe a week after. I'm not saying because you're not in church, hear me this morning. It's a direct connection to your desire. If I say to you, well, I'm content to see my wife once in 6 weeks, it's reflecting something about my desire. If you say to me, I'm content just to see my kids once a week, not spending time with them during the day, it's reflecting something about the desire. Amen? Can we agree on that? Do I talk nonsense? It's reflecting something about the desire. And I want us just to be honest for a moment and just turn the eyes inward. And just say, Lord Jesus, can I just look at my own desire for a moment? Because Jesus gives us a desire, Philippians 2:13 that we already mentioned. But what we do, sit still, what we do with that desire determines what happens after that. See, when we use that desire and we come to God, He fills that and He gives us more, but we're going to come back to that in a moment. Here's the thing. There are people with no desire, and then there are people with desire, but they like talking about that. You know what, Jesus gave me this vision. You know what, one day I'm going to be part of that. And you know what, I've been having this heart for the lost, or for the children out there. And you know, I've been having this dream for such a long time. And we even form groups in church talking about our desires. And then, you know, I know I need to start reading my Bible. Let's just make it simple. And I've been sensing the last couple of weeks, God says to me, I have to pray more, or I have to join the corporate prayer. So here's the mistake we make. We start praying about it. God, help me to pray. I've prayed that. Can I just admit, this is the most stupid prayer I've ever prayed. God, help me to pray. God, help me to read my Bible. No, God can't help you to read your Bible. He won't take your eyes, force you to sit down, or wake you up tomorrow, 5 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, or 7 o'clock, and then tell you, you need to pray. Open up your mouth, I'm going to use that. There's certain things I want to say, quit praying about. I love that article that Christine sent me the other day. It was just so resonating into my, confirming what was in my spirit there. But here's the thing, that ladies, or the five wise virgins, had a desire, but there was a missing link. They had to move upon that desire, act upon that desire. It doesn't help we sit here this morning, talk about our desires, and we are so spiritual, and your desire and your dream is bigger than mine, and you must be special because God has got this special dream for you, this special desire that you have. No, it means nothing until you've acted upon that. It's the moment we act upon that. Brenda probably had the desire, and I don't want to go there how far back when she said, this is what God is placing upon my heart. But guess what? I have to relocate myself. It takes something of me to place myself in a specific territory, to go there, requires something of my time. Because those ladies, for them, in order to get the oil, they didn't only have to have a desire, they had to act upon their desire, and most probably it took them that golden word, or that word that's so precious to us and so difficult, it took them time. It took them time just to leave something that they were busy with, to go there. I don't know what the road looked like, but we were told that the other five didn't want to go there. I was talking to Derek Buffett the other day when we were going to the airport, and we were talking about lots of other things, and he said this simple thing which we all often agree on. If you want something very badly in your life, or you want to accomplish something, you make time for that. It's just as easy as that. We all say to one another, we don't have time. And I say that sometimes as well. Continuously, I'm confronted with the thing, I don't have time. Well, you'll make time for the things that are important to you. Whether it's your children, whether it's your husband, whether it's church, whether it's God, whether it's your work. We got the opportunity or the freedom to choose that. But we can choose what's important to us. And often our actions reflect our priorities, our desires, where we act upon that. Carry on. Verse 5. When the bridegroom was delayed, that's verse 4. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. See, for the lamb to burn, there needs to be a continuous supply of oil. Doesn't help we just have desire. You need something more. You need to act upon the desire. But even if you act upon the desire, they could go with the same lamp. They couldn't go there because the same lamp had already oil in it. They had to go with an extra vessel, as the Bible says. And it's talking to us this morning about capacity. About capacity. Can I have those cups there at the back? Can we just quickly get them here in the front, JP? And lately, the Lord's been talking to me about building your capacity. Can I have two more guys? Just put them down there, JP. I'll hand them up. Can I have two volunteers to help me preach here this morning? Two volunteers. Anthony, you look like the Lord is talking to you. And Steffi. Okay. I love this. Eagerness. Okay. JP, hand a cup. Oh, yeah. Steffi, you can okay stand. Well, okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Just one cup each. Okay, I need another person here. We have three people here. Now I need you. Take another cup. Here's the thing. We all start at that level. I just want you to see something here. When we start our walk with Christ, He gives a desire to us. He gives us a desire so that we can go to Him and say, Lord Jesus, fill me. Fill me with your presence. Fill me. I just want to be around you. And then He fills that. And it often is different for all of us. Some of us met Jesus there where you were alone. Some of us met Jesus in the church. But it's often starting at that place where you're initially meeting Him. So maybe it's in church and you say, Lord Jesus, this is special. I love this. So here's your cup. Now what happens? Let me take a few more here. The moment you experience Him, There's one thing that God will always do if you come to Him with the right heart, on a condition. I'm just saying that. If you come to Him hungry, He will always fill that cup. Always. God, I haven't got much water left. I'll just try. Every time you come into His presence on a Sunday morning, let's just use that as an example because it's practical. Joshua is going to help us. He's going to fill your cup till it overflows. You can decide whenever you want to take it away. No, Jesus, that's just enough. I can do with that bit. So he can go to the next person and he will fill his cup. Because he's waiting there. Jesus, fill me. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, because it's about capacity. But here's the thing. Some of us, we're content with that one experience. Here's an alarming trend, just by the way. I read the other day in American church, they are now classifying or defining regular church attendance as 2 out of 4 in a month. If you're a regular church attendant, you've been in church twice a month or a church activity, okay? Just think about that, how the goalpost has shifted from the previous generation. And again, it's not about attendance, it's about capacity. I want you to see this. So some people say, Lord Jesus, Sunday is not enough. I need to get to another place where I can be full and experience more of you. Okay, there's a cell group for you. There's corporate prayer for you. And maybe you want to go to corporate prayer as well. Can I give you a corporate prayer? Guess what? There's another possibility that they can experience Christ because they're building their capacity. They're busy building their capacity. See, spiritual discipline eventually helping us to build our capacity. If you ill-disciplined, guess what? Your capacity will just shrink. And God wants to build our capacity or help us to build our capacity so that we can experience more and more of Him. I was sitting in a meeting this week with somebody else and I said, you know, we were talking about a lot of challenges and things we were experiencing, other brothers in Christ from other churches. I'm like sitting there and God starts to answer me. He gives me advice. He gives me certain things. And I sat there for a moment. I thought, Lord, if I didn't have this meeting, if I didn't sit down with this person, I probably would have missed out on what you wanted to give me. You know. But here's the thing. We see church or whatever it might be, our journey with the Lord as, okay, church is my big hurdle. If I can just get to church, man, I made it. I'm here. Great. I'm glad you're here. I just want to say it for the record to all of you. I'm glad all of you are here this morning. But guess what? God's got more in store for you. More than just the experience. And I can only invite you to that place. I cannot force you to that place. I cannot say to you this morning, you have to be there. You know what? You will experience God. No, guess what? You need to move according to the desire. And maybe if you haven't got the desire, you need to check that again. And just in this time of fast, in this time of prayer, say, Lord Jesus, maybe you should move amongst my desires. Because actually, I have a desire. I haven't got other colors. It just comes to my mind. I actually have a desire for other things that's maybe not from you. And Lord, I'm holding 2 cups in my hand, a little bit of you, and then a desire for that. You know what the fast is about to do? He's going to give you a desire for certain things and more of Him so that you eventually let go of this and say, Lord Jesus, I've been wasting my time with this. I've been building my capacity with the world and the things around that. God, I don't want that anymore. I've got actually, guess what? God, I've got another hand open. Give me another one. Now you can fill it with you. More of you. And here's the thing. The longer I walk with God, obviously you become a little bit wiser. I'm not saying I'm wise, and I'm still a lot. But I guess I figured out something. You can actually hold quite a lot of those. God gives you the ability and the grace, and He enables you as you're building your capacity. There are so many moments. See, for many, fingers sit fast. Church is that big hurdle. And then if you're a good Christian, you probably make, I'm not saying, no, now I have to be careful. Maybe in your own mind. Maybe if you feel better about yourself or you're a good Christian, you can make it to another event. I mean, if you're a little bit better, then more spiritual, then you can make it to another event. But here's the thing, it's not hurdles. It's not the step, okay, if I get to cell group, this is all just moments with God. Corporate prayer, and we can schedule anything into that. It's not about, in our minds, we see, okay, I have to climb to the next step. But that one, the 5 o'clock in the one, yes, that man is difficult, that I'm so tired, I can't pray that time of the morning. That's a big hurdle. It shouldn't be like that. Take away the time, take away the Wednesday, see it as an opportunity to meet with God. I tell you people today, when you remove all that obstacles around that and say, Lord Jesus, and I'm using the church this morning because it's practical, whether, and you start using that and say, Lord Jesus, that is another encounter with you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, it's not possible for you, but how are you creating intentionally the capacity increasing? They're sitting in around us. It's possible to sit there and say, Lord Jesus, we're creating a place for you. We're building our capacity so that you can move amongst us. Thank you, Yella. Yella, come and sit. Give you this one. Thank you. Give them a hand for standing here and smiling. Are you building your capacity intentionally? Are you coming before God empty-handed, positioning yourself as often before, presenting yourself before God and saying, Lord Jesus, here I am, more of you. Sunday was great, but Lord, that was Sunday. This is Tuesday, Lord Jesus. I know you want to say something new to me. Lord, there's something else. We want to meet with you. I remember as a child, I was my grandma used to play big influence, had a big influence on my spiritual life. She prayed for me, and we were testifying the other day. You've heard my testimony many times, but there's something I remember as a little boy whenever I walked into a room. I remember that I can still see that picture. She was lying in her bed while she was still, say, healthy, can put it that way. She was already old. And all I could see when I walked in there, she was lying there, the little bed lamp there, and she was reading a Bible. Often, I would see her reading a Bible just lying there on the bed, all on her own there. And it didn't make sense to me, why would she read the Bible so often, but the desire inside of her pushed her to that place, and she would read that, and she would fill it with that word. And then something happened in her last few years on earth when she was so sick and she couldn't read anymore. Guess what? She was so filled with the Bible. She was so filled with the Word of God. What I figured out at that time is she was building her capacity. She was filling herself with all of that, with the Word of God, because there was a time in her life that she couldn't read anymore, that she had to rely upon somebody else to read the Word for her. But she, fortunately, by the grace of God, has built up capacity and stored something in that capacity that for the last 2-3 years of her life, she could just, I don't want to say, survive from that. If I had to take your Bible away from you, my friend, this morning, just that simple, oh no, that simple thing, I'm sorry for that. If I had to take that away from you, would you make it till the end? Will you know the way out to the end? I don't think any of us got the ability at this stage. Maybe it will take you. I don't know how far it will take you. You've seen the other day that clip that we showed in church about the church in the west and the church in the east and about the people. And you've heard those stories so many times. I've heard it so many times about people that are so hungry for the word. They would memorize that and they cannot wait to get to one another. You know, yet we have meetings upon meetings and we have so many of them. We start complaining about that. But here's the thing. We start missing about the beauty of what we have sometimes. And God says, you know, it's another chance. You can come freely. I bet you there are people out there that can just say to God right now, say, Lord Jesus, if we can just in freedom, just spend time with one another. But we have to secretly, and we're building capacity through our spiritual discipline. You see, today's waste is tomorrow's fuel. I'm going to say that. Today's waste, what seems to be like a waste today, if you file that in your spirit, but today's foolishness is tomorrow's wisdom. If we use that word correctly and we sow it into our spirit, guess what? Every time when we're in a moment when we do not know what to answer, the Holy Spirit reminds, and I spoke often about that, John 14, that says, He will bring to your remembrance the things that I've told you. Bring to your remembrance something that's been stored there. I've built my capacity, our Holy Spirit. I've got an encounter. You know, when you speak to people, I suddenly realize whether they are fresh or not. You realize whether they're giving me fresh manna or old manna. When Jesus or when Moses were in the desert, they were instructed just to eat the fresh manna. They were not allowed to eat the old manna. And sometimes we are not intimate with God. So whenever we're in a situation, suddenly we try and pull everything together. Now we need to, God, you need to help. And I've got this little bit of scripture and I've got this little bit of experience. But it's so old, it doesn't change the life of that person. And all of us sitting here, I believe God has got the desire so that whenever the Bible says in Timothy, in season and out of season, in season and out of season, suddenly you're in a situation where it's expected of you to produce a certain result. Make the fire. Are you ready to make the fire? Because you've got matches. You've got the Holy Spirit. You walked with Him this past week. Man, I experienced this and this and this. Can I just testify my life? And I'm not talking about just having a new revelation. It's just about experiencing Him daily as we walk with Him. Verse 6. At the midnight they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared the lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself." There's certain things in life that you just have to do for yourself, my friend. I cannot do that for you. I would love to wait for you at the end of eternity and tell you, you know what, you and my church, Lord Jesus, he was in the church, you can let him in. He came to church every Sunday. He's a member of Shofar. I can show you his membership form. Guess what? It's not going to last. Oh, I remember when we were kids, you know, you go to Sunday school and you get the stamp at the end of the year. You make sure that you don't miss a certain amount of those days because you're going to miss your stamp. You know, guess what? There's no stamps in heaven. Amen. Do I know you? Through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Are you intimate with Him? And here's the thing, let's carry on, I want to finish here. Verse 9, but the others replied, "We don't have enough for ourselves, go to shop and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy all, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us." But he called back, "Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day and the hour of my return." It's possibly the biggest lesson in all these three or these parables that we read is that we need to be watchful at all times. Because in Jewish times, what happened back then when it was a wedding, what had happened is the bridegroom or the friends of the bridegroom, they would start from the house of the bridegroom as they walked towards the bride. And they would say, "The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming." And they would announce it because they would do it at night at the rise of the evening star. And they would shout, "The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming." And for 2,000 years, people, it's all we've been hearing from Jesus left is, "The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself." And many of us sit here and said, "Oh, I heard that before. Oh, yeah, 20 other pastors told me. See that in Scripture. The bridegroom is coming." Are you intentionally preparing yourself for that big wedding? Are you at that place at any given time? Because we do not know, there's one thing we do not know, whether he's going to come first or I'm going to go first. Young or old this morning, we're all in the same boat here. None of us know that. Are you intentionally preparing yourself for that wedding? The Holy Spirit wants to prepare you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to give you the desire. He wants to move to a place that you act upon that desire. He wants to move you to that place that you build your capacity, that you prepare the guest room, that you prepare that place to say, "Lord Jesus, come." The church has been crying for the last Maranatha. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Can you honestly cry that this morning? Or shout out with the rest of the church and those that's gone before us, all those saints that's gone before us. "Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus." Or are you thinking, "Oh, as I know, come is the problem. If he comes now, the house is not in order." I'm not trying to sow fear this morning. I'm not trying. I'm trying to inviting you to that place where you say, "Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. More of you. More of you." Last week, and I'll end with this story. At the end of the service, there's a lady that gets up, young lady, and she's so emotional. She just says, "You know what, I've been sitting here and the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about just sharing a testimony." And it wasn't possibly the great testimony, but it was so profound to me. She said, you know what, I was in a cell group, and this is in Windhoek now, and we're sitting there, and they prayed for me for the Holy Spirit, and bam, God baptized me with this Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues, and then I went through a stage where I was just dry, and I couldn't speak in tongues, and then I just cried out to God. I said, Lord Jesus, more, I know it's in there. I know you've given that to me, and it's become dormant. I want that. You know, and bam, God honors that prayer. She said, you know what? And she's standing there, she's crying. She said, I was in that cell group after a while again, or wherever she, I can't remember specifically where it happened, but she said, you know, and then I started flowing, and I'm flowing in the tongues, and I'm praying unto God. And for 5 minutes, my head wants to go back to English. She's an English girl. She said, I just want to speak English, but I just couldn't get myself there. I'm just flowing into that place. And I want to say to you, some of you sitting here this morning, there's a story in Genesis 26. You can read that afterwards about Isaac in the valleys of Gerar. So Isaac goes there, and then he finds certain things. He finds wells there that his father Abraham dug there. And the Bible says there's two things that happen. Isaac reopened those wells where the Philistines, the enemy, came and he threw some junk in those wells, because wells were the sort of life till today. I think that's what God is saying to us as well. You think about Cape Town, you think about where we were in Namibia last year. If you don't have water, my friend, we're stuck. Spiritually speaking as well, the Holy Spirit. Anyway, so we reopened the wells, and I sense God is saying there's some of us this morning that we've experienced Christ, we've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you've allowed the enemy to clog you up with so much nonsense and stuff and feeding on the wrong stuff, that he says it's time to open that up again. Just come before me in this time. Maybe in the time as we go to pray this next week or two or three, maybe this morning. There are some of us this morning, there's other thing that Isaac did. He dug new wells. Some of us, we want that. That's the police coming to fetch. Some of us want that so dearly, and God says, why would I not give it to you? That's the one thing. Listen to me, people. This is the one thing the Bible assures us definitely. If you read Scripture, you'll see. If you ask me, the Holy Spirit, why would I not give that to you? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about there. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. But only if you desire that. That's why it's possible to sit here this morning, have a great Christian life, be a good Christian. Nothing wrong, you'll go to heaven. But there's more. Some of us are content with that. Can I invite you to this place where there's more? As we go into this prayer and fast this week, here's a thing that's about to take place. A couple of weeks I was sitting in a service, and then I sense a very strong word. Heinrich was preaching, and I sense in the middle of the service, I hear the Lord is saying, what will it take you to start praying? And I'm like, Lord, where is this coming from? But then I started meditating upon that, and I thought about that. So often in life, we only pray when things are tough, isn't that? Huh? I mean, I'm talking about myself at least now. I seriously pray when stuff is wrong. When it's better, then I can relax a bit, you know. But when things are tough, we start praying. But the problem is, sometimes we pray with a plan B and C. We come to God, God, you need to help. But it's okay, God, I need to do this. I need to pray. But then if you don't come through, don't worry. I've got plan B and C. I need you, but God, back in our minds, you're already making plans that if God doesn't come through, then I can work out something on my own here. And I've been praying this prayer, and maybe you're going to be angry at me and cross with me. But I'm praying it over myself, and I'm praying it for us as a church. God, eliminate our plan B's and C's. Just take us to that place of desperation for Him. I'm at that place. I tell you what, I'm at that place of desperation for God. And maybe God is going to eliminate another plan B that I thought, I don't know. I've given Him permission just to open up. And here's the thing about this whole prayer and fast. You know, sometimes we think prayer and fast is just that God is going to give me something special. You know, just pray. And I've heard this thing about praying and fasting, and there's something. Yes, there's something supernatural that's going to happen, but I'm going to get something. It's almost this bargaining with God. God, I'm going to fast now, and then you have to move now, because I'm fasting now. But you know, it's just an invitation. I want you to see this morning. Prayer and fast is just an invitation to the inner room with God and say, Lord Jesus, I'm separating myself now from all those things that used to distract me. Whether it's your Facebook, whether it's your television, whether it's food. So Lord Jesus, I close that door for now. It's just me and you. Can we just have business here? Because here's the thing I want to say to you this morning as I close. Prayer and fast is not so much about what God can do for you now. That's what I sense God wanted to say to us this morning. But it's about what He can do in you when you're at that door, when you're the other side there. Sometimes we go into this, oh Lord Jesus, I've got my list that I want to be or achieve and make sure that you do that for me once I'm finished with that. But why don't you go into that room this time? Just give Him permission. We're going to pray into seven areas. Why don't you just give Him permission just to put His hand into your life in those seven areas? Since Lord Jesus, it's just me and you. Let's just talk about those things. I tell you what, maybe the outcome will change because He changed something inside of you. The way you look at things, the way you react to certain things, the way you give, the way you do certain things. It's because it starts here. It's more about changing us into the bride, coming to Him, coming closer to Him. Let's close our eyes.